Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. Hello, my wonderful, wonderful audience. As always, thank you for being there. I'm Dr. Peter Breggin, and welcome to Refounding America and Reclaiming Ourselves, both the political and the psychological. I'm a psychiatrist, the author of COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey, which you can get, by the way, directly from us on wearethepray.com. And then you can get the book in all of its manifestations on the online bookstores like Amazon. And we're having a bit of a revival lately. People are realizing this book tells the deepest story on the global predators. We are happy to see that our show is doing very well here on Brighteon TV. And it's doing very well with its radio counterpart on PRN.live. So if you're just listening to me, it's either on PRN.live or the many other places that it's heard. We will be back with Astrid Stuckelberger, a great, great doctor. Well, folks, you're looking at Astrid Stuckelberger, who is a very heavy hitter. She is a scientist. She's worked with the World Health Organization. She's even done studies on mental health, and I'm a psychiatrist, so at some point today we might get into that. But I'm to psychiatry as I am to COVID-19. All I can see is the ugliness. And I'm not like your institutional psychiatrist, Astrid. I don't know if you want to say more about yourself. I mean, you've got very good university credentials. You've got World Health Organization credentials. You've been in many universities. You're also now probably getting, like everybody else, pushed out here and there. I've seen you on some really good TV, and you really have a lot to say. And people may know of you a little bit from being on Jane Ruby's show, where they shut you up at a big conference in Europe, which is a tremendous credential to have people leap on the stage and shut you up like you're a wild, dangerous human being. So that's my introduction, and I'm just looking really forward to hearing more about the episode in Europe and more about you and the very interesting deep science you're doing on the various aspects of the jabs. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Breggin. I'm very honored to be with you and Ginger. I will do my best to help people understand what's going on.
Good. Where would you like to begin? Do you want to talk about the issues you were talking about at the conference, since they seem to be rather important?
Okay, let's start with that. Yeah, I have a lot. First, I want to say I have a lot of credential. Given the situation we have, and you know very well that with your situation, the CV and your writings and your credentials are very important. So I was kind of hiding, you know, not being humble of what I have done in my life. But given the situation, I posted my middle-sized CV with letters of recommendations that were the most relevant to show to people, don't attack me. This is true. I have been working with WHO numerous times, you know, from I was very early with my Master of Science in Mental Health to the pandemic treaty and to the emergency management and typologies of causality, etc. So I have placed myself because I thought there is so much lies that I have to say that. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
What happened in the last things that I'm facing today, which you might be facing too, is attack on your credibility, but more so, very perverse things. It's actually very good. You know, as a psychiatrist, you will understand the truth prevails, and it's very good. Crisis is an opportunity, according to the Chinese interpretation of crisis. It's an opportunity to unveil the veil. And what's happening today is that in the causality of this mass murder crime, we cannot call it another way, the criminology logic shows that there are many ways and pathways to analyze the causality. But some people don't want you to disclose scenario A, B, C, you know, CSI, Miami, you have criminology. You have to accept all the pathways of the crime. And some people don't want you to talk about certain things like it happened in Stockholm. As soon as I had uttered the word that this is not biological, what is in the vials, because some scientists found that nothing is biological in this vial. It's all synthetic, like Dr. David Martin said. And that if so, if this is true and it has been proven, then the causality is only synthetic, and the causality of causality brings what they called mRNA, which might be AI mRNA, because it might be nanotech mRNA and nanotech spike, because they are not experts. And this causality is a totally different path, so that we have to stop and say, okay, let's separate the group who says mRNA spike, and let's consider other pathways of what's going on with the AI nanotech, which is very real, because since 2021, since Professor Campra from Almería University disclosed his report, very elaborated report on chemical analysis of the vial, confirmed in November 21, it is clear there is another pathway of causality to this crime. And as in every crime, you usually analyze autopsy. And this time, they have censored autopsy. The medical evidence is not there. So we have to start going with clinical autopsy, clinical cases, and the clinical cases of autopsy that went over the interdiction, which doesn't make any sense, this is unjustified, have shown that the material that has killed people is not at all a spike protein. It is something of another nature, you know, long caoutchouc veins that were clogged up with long range, like up to 1 meter. So we, I mean, if you really are a scientist and you are, you look at all the pathways, and today the censorship that I got proves that there is an opposition that doesn't want you to speak about something. And if I was a Colombo investigation, you know, in the film, I would say, oh, this is very strange. You're censoring something very interesting. And this is exactly what we're living. What is censored is actually what they want to they don't want us to know. And just by chance, the countries where I was most censored was Sweden. And Sweden is the country of, and you might like that, psychotronic weapon and AI development with Ericsson 5G. Ericsson has deployed all the 5Gs in the world. And this is what I'm finding out as in my investigation, because I'm a researcher, of course, we like to investigate research, but this is a crime scene, so we look in all the causality. Why are people doing this and that? So this is helping us to clarify who are true seekers of the cause of the cause. It's not about mRNA and spike. This is just a small process in the whole chain of causality. And that's what I said in Stockholm. They did not like that. They did not like that at all.
Well, what part of it they didn't like has to do with something very specific that you were talking about. Could you focus on that? The nanoparticle.
Yes. But before that, you see, this is what is very strange. They wanted me absolutely to talk of WHO. Of course, I can talk of WHO. I've been in the system. Nobody knows the system, how it works. Everything looks normal, but they're trying to impose a dictatorship. Everybody today, from James Rogowski to others, are saying, yeah, this is a dictatorship. Yes, of course it is. But in 2024, at the World Health Assembly, and it's always the last weeks of May, they will close the deal of a dictatorship on all the constitution of the world if people don't react. But what is more important for me is that...
You don't think it'll happen in 2023? You think it'll be a year from now them to get their act together?
Yes. Yeah. And I have proof.
By the way, I blew the initial whistle on the whole idea of making these agreements that was decided when the head of the director general, the secretary general,
Director General
Tedros, when he announced in the late January of this last year now, my gosh, that they were going to be making these agreements with individual nations that would make the WHO the central directing agency of all world health. I blew the whistle on that. So I got in very early on what they were planning. And then shortly after that, out came the fact they were also doing the Rogowski came out, and Rogowski had found that they were also going to do the changing the very basic rules of the WHO, which were the amendments. So I know our audience has probably heard some about this, and that there's both the amendments to the World Health Organization and agreements they're going to make with individual nations, all promoted very heavily by our current administration, who wants to literally give up our sovereignty on health matters as long as there is an element of a possible threat to world health of some kind. It doesn't have to be defined, that they can move in and take over the health care of a nation. And it looks like Biden would sign that right over to them. And Biden's also encouraging a vote on the on the U.S. amendments, which would do the same thing. So we get these two, it's confusing. But you've been in the middle of that, and I've been in the middle of it from a different direction, working on stopping it last May from becoming the amendments getting approved.
Excellent. Yes, so I can clarify that there are two processes. And I think they're doing this because they want to make sure that if somebody focuses on one, they will pass the other.
Yeah, you know that's, how it that's is right. with the that's enemy. That's what we're thinking. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So you're right. So the first one is that they want to do what they called a World Health Treaty. But it's not going to be a treaty. It's going to be a convention like the Tobacco Convention, because they mentioned this in the first draft of this pandemic treaty, convention, or international instrument. They always use three words.
Or other instrument.
International instrument. Yeah. So they use this word to confuse people. But today, after the INB, International Intergovernmental Negotiating Body, they have said it's a CA+, and C states probably for convention, and A, agreement, because it corresponds to the Tobacco Convention, and they have announced this since December 21, like you said. So this of course is a crime, because they're trying to, of course, make the same as the amendments. They're trying to erase the sovereignty of states, so countries cannot decide anymore. And they have a compliance committee. In case you don't agree, you're going to the psychiatrist compliance committee, and they will make sure that you comply in a way or another. And we know what they're doing at the international level with governments. They're bragging them. They're doing blackmailing. They're doing drugging. They're doing threatening to kill their families. You know, this is all the psychop that we're living today. People are so afraid because they have put all their psychopathic plans in place.
Yeah.
So this
Let's move from that, and because that's been discussed a fair amount here.
Okay.
And to this unique idea that you're developing, which is the spike protein is not itself the worst of it. That the worst of it is a nanoparticle, and is that the covering of the spike protein that gets it into the cells?
Yes, I just want to make sure that you know that the U.S. amendments have been submitted in the January 14th, and then it was closed because you intervened, among others, but they resubmitted with this girl, Mara Burr, Director of Multilateral Affairs of Office of the Secretary of the Human Health Services, and they reactivated it, and they submitted to all the countries, they closed the deal, and now there is a there was a conceptual zero draft, and now there is a zero draft adopted, INB5, yes. INB4. So we are not, it's not adopted, it is approved, just to close that chapter. And at the World Health Assembly in May 2023, they will just accept it, but they will not adopt it because it's a draft. They're waiting for 1 year because their AI system is not finished. And that's my hypothesis, but that's okay. Links to your question that yes, what is going on now is really very bad because people don't realize that WHO is doing this, but in parallel, July 2021 and August, they have produced two very important documents. One was on the digitalization of care and the mm-hmm. digitalization of the vaccine status. I have, you know, I even have that here. I mean, I don't know if you can see that. It's a document called Digital Documentation of COVID-19 Certificates Vaccination Status, Technical Specification and Implementation Guidance of a QR code that will always be with you, no data privacy, no informed consent, and you are at the mercy of artificial intelligence knowing if you're vaccinated, not what is your biometric status, because this the people doing that are far beyond what we know with DARPA. They can get the biometric data by Wi-Fi, and people don't know that.
No, that's okay, important.
The second, and I have
and that's the passport. That overlaps with the idea of the passport. A vaccine passport, but it's going to become an identity passport before
they're
done.
It already is. Because people who are vaccinated have an ID. It is, they have an RFID. And this passport, if you went to the restaurant, I don't have one, but I asked my friends and I checked. They go to a restaurant and the server, you know, serving in the restaurant can see not only their ID, but who is the doctor, how many shots they've had, which shots, they can see everything. The biometric data is in the QR code or whatever system
they have. Where is it on the body?
Oh, it's inside. Wait, okay, so now we're getting to the matter of the fact. What is going on since June 2021, there were many reports, but the most important was Professor Pablo Campra, Almería University, who was mandated, he was contracted by Ricardo Delgado from Quinta Columna because his father and mother were both injected. He asked what is in the vials. And Pablo Campra is a chemist, not a doctor, because doctors are not able to look at chemical mm-hmm. outbreak, neither radiation outbreak. Pablo Campra.
So you're saying it's in the injection.
It's an injection. It's an injection of toxicity and poison.
Yeah, but that it also has a QR code in it, you're saying?
ID. It has an RFID. And it was this report from Campra, but the one from Professor Arne Burkhardt also, not only confirm RFID, oxide graphene, but two metals that are highly toxic. It was chrome and nickel. It has mm-hmm. nothing to do in the vial. And it is in there, and parasites, synthetic probably, and now it's confirmed that nothing in the vial is biological, it's synthetic. Like Dr. David Martin said, and all the patents, you know, are there to show it's synthetic. David Martin said, I should never have accepted it. Dr. Nagazzi and Dr. Monteverde proved that if you don't have nitrogen and phosphor in the vials, it's not biological. This is a key question. It's like a pathway that splits in biology versus transhumanism and synthetic.
Yeah.
So I took it very seriously, and everybody who makes any analysis has to take the same methodology and prove that the vials are not biological, they are synthetic.
And I remember when they were boasting very early on that to sort of grow the spike proteins, for example, would be slow and expensive, and they were computer manufacturing them. And that's consistent with what you're saying.
But I'm calling for, I'm a bit rebel, but I'm calling for not calling this mRNA, because mRNA is a messenger of epigenetic. It is nothing more. And spike protein is spike protein. But we need, because it's not biological, we should call it intelligent or a synthetic. We must put either a S or an I for being I mRNA and S mRNA, synthetic, and spike the same. Because as long as we cannot distinguish between transhumanist and this nanotech, nanoparticle, and the biology, we cannot analyze this clearly. So they're confusing us with concentrate, and that's why I was censored. I said, we have to stop talking of mRNA and spike. We have to talk of the causality of this crime. And the causality might be metal. Metal creates infection and spike protein. But spike protein proliferation can be due to oxime graphene, who is just a carpet of nanoparticles on which you can put bacteria, genome, parasite, and you can code it biodigitally. And there are patents on that. So this is a lot of work to prove, but I can tell you, we have a very good scientist called Professor Jacques Benveniste in France, which Montagnier has stolen a patent from. There was a lawsuit. Mr. Bruno, he won the lawsuit when Benveniste had died, probably killed, because he had proven, and he has patents on biocoding HIV, biocoding the diseases. And I wrote a report for the judges in France demonstrating that DARPA is biocoding oxide graphene, and all the codes exist. They are open, they're open source. You can code oxide graphene. It is a receptor, an emitter up to terahertz, which means it's like a computer, you know. Bill Gates made it. Antivirus. So you code and you send the code and you receive the code mimicking a disease like Ebola. The body thinks it's Ebola and it will react. It looks science fiction, but it's not science fiction.
I'm making shortcuts.
I'm sorry.
You're going further than I've heard before. It's very, very interesting that you've got sufficient evidence to convince you that the entire injection is a creation of man and not of God or nature.
Definitely.
It's synthetic.
Anti-God.
And it's synthetic, and it can be programmed in a very extensive fashion.
Yes,
like a very large disk of coding.
Yes.
That's stunning. I haven't heard that clearly from anyone else. That's very stunning. And you feel the science is there now, that you're comfortable, but you don't know exactly how it's coded, and there's a lot of questions, it sounds like.
Well, actually, the codes exist. I'm not an engineer.
We have to finish. Break when we can. We will come back to this somewhat new world of... Wow, okay. Well, welcome back. We're talking with Astrid Stuckelberger. She's a brilliant scientist, an HO, you know, she's been with the WHO, she's been in many universities. And I'm trying to just sum up for myself some of what I'm hearing and maybe correct me. There are two different things we're talking about. One is the spike protein, and the other is the graphene oxide that is covers it and allows it to enter, so that forces its way into the cells. And they're two very separate identities. They are both, in her opinion, and that of other scientists, not biological materials, they're synthetic materials, and that at least a certain number of people are already carrying around records, basically computer data about themselves on the graphene oxide, I think you're saying, and that you've actually seen it read in restaurants, that they can be detected. Is that right, what you were saying?
Well, you know, since, I mean, now it was since 21, we knew that there are IDs in people. So we have been everybody curious has been testing that with different Bluetooth signals. Only the old Samsung we could detect that, not the new ones. But with iPhone, you know, you have CT Bluetooth, you know, you have many different Bluetooths. And you can, when you take the airplane, you can turn on your Bluetooth and see hundreds of signals. I have somebody, Pascal Nadaji, he did that when he went to Vienna, and he said there were 100 people in the airplane. I got 300 signals. Is this like three jabs, 300 signals? We don't know, because we are asking computer science people to try and understand what are those codes. So that's one fact. We have tested people without their phone, with their phone, etc. There is an ID signal. Then we have tested with people who are embalmers. If after taking away the blood, which is a process after death, is the signal still there? Yes, it is. Then we have even with Belgium lawyers looked at, is the signal still there when you bury someone in earth? Yes, the signal is still there. I cannot say in all of them. Can you imagine what that means? So when you know and you look, please watch the video of Dr. Charles Morgan, DARPA psychoneurobiologist, talking about how graphene can take over your body's function. Now it can take over your body movements and your brain. You go, oh my God, you know, this is a reality. Look, go and look at YouTube, psychoneurobiology and war, DARPA, Dr. Charles Morgan, and you can watch by yourself. You really start to see the dots connecting in all this situation, because the nanoparticle oxide graphene experts are not many in this world. So we know that this oxide graphene creates a lot of hidden mechanisms that we have to consider. We cannot just say it's spike protein. Dr. Brito from Canada, who did autopsies with the Japanese government in June, I remember very well because he was a breakthrough for me. In 21, he said in the autopsy, we found spike protein everywhere, in the cells, in the stream of the blood, in the
That's
bones.
That's really established now in the brain, heavily in the ovaries and testes, yeah.
Everywhere. So how come the spike protein, you should just be in the injection site, is everywhere? The only explanation to me today is oxide graphene is a great transporter. Small nanoparticle having whatever they call spike, because I would like to have a demonstration that this is a real spike, or is it a nanorobot? You see, the problem that I see in the scientific method...
Nanorobot, you got to slow down and tell us what you're talking about. That's like, ooh, okay. So no, these nanoparticles become robots, nanorobots.
Yes,
they can do things.
I'll tell you why I say that. Because as much in WHO as in the groups the scientists I have been in, when it's about innovation and research expertise, I let the engineers speak. because they know what is engineering, because you're a clinical, you're a clinical doctor. When you have a clinical methodology, you do control trials thirdly, that's the big, you know, golden standard. But with engineers, and I learned that through the years with the European Commission and different governments I worked for as experts, it's with engineers, it's proof of concept. The light turns on or off, it's proven. So let's consider this. What is going on now, and that was in WHO epidemiology, there are four typology: infectious disease, foodborne disease like salmonella in peanut butter. It's the farm, the causality is the farm, it's not the peanut butter. And then you have chemical. Chemical can be a plant, it can be metal, it can be venom, you know, like some have suggested. And you get killed because of a poisoning, not, and it is an infection. It becomes an infection by the causality. And then the last one is radiation. And radiation is totally underestimated. Why? Because WHO has no say in radiation and radionuclear, because it's the Atomic International Agency, the Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna. When Fukushima broke out, WHO was forbidden to get in to study the causality. It was the Atomic Energy Agency that came in and decided if this is a matter of public health emergency or not. So you see that the causality of all this is multiple. And what they are doing with technology like oxide graphene, they are obliterating, they're denying access of people expert in engineering for the causality of the crime. And I am calling for them to come and join. And I said that to Ryan Cole when he censored me on scene when after I said that it's open to many pathways and we need to have people who are engineering. And he came up and said, Astrid, I love her, but she's wrong. And he doesn't understand anything. He has no publication, no CV. He has absolutely no expertise in nanotech, nanoparticles, working with engineers. So shut up.
Now, for folks who haven't seen this.
Sorry.
Dr. Stuckelberger is literally talking on a stage. She's finishing up a talk. And Ryan Cole, this American, and he hangs around with Robert Malone a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were they together?
They're very often together, I must say.
So he comes up on the stage, Malone is not there, and they shut the mic off. He forcefully takes the mic away from you, like, hey, I'll use force if you don't give it to me.
Well, we had a debate. They already stopped my speech without telling me I'd only have 10 minutes. But when I
earlier,
started,
they cut you short. Now, this was in a discussion afterwards.
Behind Ryan Cole and Malone, there were people saying, stop her. She has to stop talking because she's discrediting us, which is true. Because they only speak of spike protein and mRNA, which we have to stop only talking about that.
That is the big sell right now. That's how they're going to continue making trillions of dollars. By right now they're saying that without testing, basically they're going to put all the childhood vaccines onto mRNA platforms.
I'll take you a very funny story. You remember when Strauss-Kahn got arrested? Strauss-Kahn in the Sofitel hotel in New York, being a crime of having raped a woman. You know what CSI did? They analyzed the data of DNA on the walls of the hotel room. They found, because I read that, I thought, this is really weird. It doesn't make sense, you know. And they found 17 different man sperm. So this is exactly what we're facing. You know, they're trying to take a rhetoric to try and prove us mRNA spike. But we have to stop that. We have to say, this is another causality. It is not this. It is something else because we have no autopsy. The autopsy shows actually there is something non-human in the body when you die. So let's stop with this spike protein. It's not natural. So we have to open the door of the Pandora box and say, stop it, we are going to open, stop censoring me. And the fact that censored me made what we call the Streisand effect, you know, the more you censor, the more people listen. So thank you, Ryan Cole. You're really very kind, because...
be here if I hadn't seen that film of you being brutal, quietly brutalized on a scientific platform. It was quite amazing. And
they have to accept there are many possibilities. You cannot censor and say somebody is wrong. Today, we are on a mass murder crime.
Yeah.
By Pascal Nadaji, my colleague in Switzerland at the Supreme Court of Justice, you know, in New York. This is a multiple crime of Pfizer. So we know now. So anything you say is a possibility. And anybody can say, I don't agree with him. You don't agree with Malone or Ryan Cole. It's okay. Nobody can censor you because we don't know the crime. This is an investigation process. Everybody's allowed to have his opinion.
Well, the people that are still defending the mRNA platform, they are censoring me, of course, very deeply, with the threat of a huge lawsuit, which has been registered in the court but still not served. It just hangs over my head and Ginger's head and Jane's head, three of us.
So please claim that the mRNA is synthetic. It's not a natural mRNA. It is not. And I said that in Stockholm, we have to stop. And maybe that's what made the Pandora box explode. I said, we have to stop calling it mRNA and spike. We have to call it another process because it's synthetic. And it could be, because you're not expert, it could be a nanorobot called and mimicking mRNA.
I need to describe it quite. So tell me, what do these little nanorobots do? What is it like? What can they accomplish?
The experts in nanoparticles and nanorobots are alarming us to something much bigger than just mRNA and spike infectious disease. They are saying, and I'm just quoting many people, many experts, they have injected a system of nanocircuits that turns on when you turn on the 5G or maybe your Wi-Fi or your phone, the nanocircuit, and it has been proven under microscope, it puts itself together as a nanocircuit and dissolves when the 5G is not there. So what they can do is, and this I had already investigated before because I was very interested in the work of a scientist working on the power of water and of coding water. He's called Jacques Benveniste. He has many patents in France. Pasteur, of course, Pasteur Institute was against him. And even Professor Montagnier, who got the Nobel Prize for HIV, because he proved to the team, because he got probably killed, he proved that HIV was a code, a bionumeric code. He even has a patent about that, called Bionumerical Code of Disease. And of course, this is very important because you can see the codes in many reports. And if you dig a little bit in what WHO is doing, they have codes for disease. You see, in USA, you have a big scientific database with Shari Edwards on bioacoustics. I was in the American Precision Medicine Association during the first part of COVID, and we were looking for bioacoustic diagnosis. That's how I got so involved in that. The code, so every molecule has a wave, every wave has a frequency, and every frequency has a sound, a color, a frequency. This is the new medicine. This has been documented in the US by Shari Edwards and many others. MIT did a diagnosis of COVID-19 on bioacoustics. So I investigated, I went to the labs, I said, what is this about? How can you diagnose COVID-19? Tell me, because it's the most mutant coronavirus that you can get. And friends, it's a common flu. It mutates so quickly. How can you get the bioacoustic print? And the labs told me, we don't know because we cannot calibrate our devices. They change all the time. And I must admit that PCR is not a good test. So we could not produce an evidence of bioacoustic diagnosis because the PCR was so wrong. And that's how I found out the whole scam. That PCR, Carrie Mullis, the inventor, said it cannot be a diagnosis. CDC, the document of 13th of July, said it cannot be a diagnosis. The WHO... Okay, good.
I'm trying to connect it to this whole new area of how these oxides get programmed, in effect, to behave in certain ways, cause diseases, what you're saying, but also contain information that is showing up in odd places on various kinds of wavelengths. Just kind of trying to get more into that. Okay. It sounds like it's a very frontier kind of still exploration. Mm-hmm. And
I'll tell you what I know, but I will quote people because I'm not an expert. But I've always done this for the government, for the university, for WHO, reviewing science and engineering. The best experts in this are very convincing. One of them is Mark Steele. He has a website, Save Us, UK. Mark Steele is an expert in bioweapons and bioweaponry of nanotech and of radiation. He went and took down the lampposts in the street and proved to the police that the lampposts in the streets, and I will add even some LED lamps in your home, are 5G. And not only they have 5G, but they have something beyond 5G called, let me quote this correctly, microwave-directed radiation. And Mark Steele has warned everybody. I've really taken this very seriously because all the lampposts in the streets in the world, even the small villages in Switzerland, have been changed. He said, this is a crime. This can kill people by laser, and it is a microwave-directed weaponry for specifically oxide graphene or hydroxyoxide graphene, but it can really coat people or kill them. Why I can affirm this is that I've seen reports of secret agents from Russia and from the US that they were attacking each other with bioradiation already 20 years ago. And I was very interested because the new medicine is about radiation and frequency. And this can create health, like can create disease. And there are reports on this. So it is not something that is science fiction. It has existed in the secret services already since a long time. So what is Mark Steele is saying is just that. And I have actually in front of me, where is it? There is a patent that came out. Here it is. There is a patent that came out in the United States from Hurlish and Al, called Methods and Systems of Prioritizing Treatments, Vaccination, Testing, and More Activities While Protecting the Privacy and Individuals. It's only about AI system and nanotech and how you receive and emit data. It's what we call big data, which was a big thing in health, is actually coding all those information that nobody understands if you don't get into it with engineers, not with medical infection disease or mRNA, but also with engineers. Yeah, mm-hmm. So we are very seriously with patents dating August 31, 2021, in a very serious situation where the people vaccinated have an ID, the Wi-Fi, but the 5G is not a 5G, it's beyond 5G. It's a microwave radiation bioweapon, can not only detect but code according to the score, what is said in this patent, to the score of the person, if they are super spreaders, not super spreaders, it's all described, that they can organize an epidemic and a pandemic of international proportion. They can mimic, you see, I'm coming back one step back. When you know that—
We have a minute and a half.
Oh, sorry.
Now.
Okay. You can mimic Ebola with the radiation and the frequency of the component that makes you sick, and the body will think you're sick.
Well, I think I'm hearing and understanding a lot of it, and some of it I can't quite follow. I'm so glad that you're here and talking about this. I may look back and say, gee, I heard that pretty well on, and it sounded like, wow, that's straining my imagination, but I'm getting a better sense of what you're talking about.
And as a psychiatrist,
don't let them shut
add,
you up. Don't let them shut you up. Yeah. Yes. In your last minute, maybe talk about where people can contact you and look you up. 1 minute
yes,
to go.
Well, I have a website where you have my CV, so you can check my credential. I'm trying not to post too much because I'm censored. But I am on Facebook, Twitter. Twitter is not censoring me anymore. So Twitter, LinkedIn, Telegram, you can dr_Astrid_Zuckerberger. I post everything I can there. It's like a library for me. And I'm on VK, Getter a little bit. I will get better, but I'm careful.
Okay. Well, Astrid, thank you so much for being on the show. Certainly one of the most interesting conversations I've ever heard. I wish I were knew more to be able to put together my own questions about it, but it certainly sounds like it's you're saying, you're clearly saying that we can be programmed through at least some of the vaccinations, that the materials that they are putting in our bodies can be activated, some to be even called robot-like, and they can mimic diseases, and they can get carry around information that you won't need a passport. It'll be in your body. Thank you so much, Astrid Zuckerberger. Thank you.